This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And that game, of course, tomorrow. Like all Phillies games, you can hear right here, 94 WIP.
Isn't that the most to get excited about? Fransky in L.A.
Oh, it's a great part of it.
When they do the games or whoever. I just love Fransky.
Great part. And you know, you really should get playoff baseball. The question is, how deep will the run be this year? Or not a run. Last year, not a run. Last year was a crawl and a hit a wall. It was a crawl to a wall. Hopefully this year they really crank it up. All right, good morning.
Last year was a sprint and then a crawl.
Well, yeah, I meant in the playoffs, but yes, for sure. All right, so we got Ruben Amaro with us. James Seltzer, we also now have a sponsor. Ruben Amaro is now sponsored.
How about
on
that? Big time Ruben Amaro over here.
Am I really?
Big Ruben Amaro in studio is brought to you by CJ's Tire and Auto. 18 convenient locations. We keep things moving. Go to CJTire.com.
Look at this guy.
Wow.
Look, he's got his own sponsor.
That's exciting.
What up, Amaro?
What's happening?
You excited, man?
I'm really excited. It's a great time of the year every year, but I think this year is even more special just because there is some urgency, and I think the players know it.
No question about it.
I heard somebody talk about it. I think that there's pressure. There's no question about that, but I don't think that there's the expectation, which I think also puts a little chip on their shoulder.
Mm. Good.
I know these guys in the clubhouse, and I will tell you that being the quote-unquote underdog in some ways this year, I think that fires them up. Oh, yeah.
For it.
That's going to get them a little bit.
Good.
That's going to piss them off.
Well, we need something to light a fire.
Well, I think that there's a couple of things.
Propel them past the last couple of years. You think that's in store for us here? I know that's sort of putting the cart in front of the horse.
I mean, we got a long way to go. But I think, as Joe said, and I remember Joe saying and asking the question, were the Eagles a great team? And he didn't really think so until really late in the season.
Yeah, it took pretty long for the season for me to think that.
It took you a long time.
It did.
And you know, and you just said the Phillies are a great team.
They are.
And they are, talent-wise. And we've seen them get to the postseason several times. So That's fairly proven. Can they be the greatest team? That's the that's the big question. But I think that they have the ability to do that, regardless of where the Dodgers are and how great they are. The reality of it is this team has a chance to win.
All right, Ruben, what aspect of it excites you the most?
Well, the starting pitching is fantastic.
I think that's
That's a separator for me, especially in NL East and maybe in all of baseball.
Ooh.
Top two or three, I think, full rotations maybe in baseball.
That's
as far as depth is concerned, 1 through 5.
With Rangers problem factored in?
I mean, every team's going to have tweaks. And, you know, you start talking about their top three, and I include now Christopher Sanchez in that top three. Because this is a guy he's spectacular right
James
now.
Thinks he's better than Nola.
I think he's a Cy Young contender is what I think.
That's a great take because that's one of going to be one of my bold predictions. That he's going to be the top two.
Look
or three.
At this. The baseball guys know, Joe. Yeah.
The baseball guys know.
I think this guy's got a chance to be really special this year.
Okay.
He's got a one special pitch, but now his fastball is now back to where it was years ago with command.
Why is the slider better this year?
I think he worked on it. I think he worked on his grips, and he also and he didn't want to talk about it too much because he wanted to jinx himself, I think. But but I think it's just a more consistent pitch because he's throwing more confidence.
And
more confidence.
And I don't understand how they arrive at this, but the numbers said it was one of the best pitches in all of baseball or the best pitch in all of baseball last season.
The changeup.
Changeup.
Yep.
How does that work? Do you agree that he has that sort of weaponization in his bag?
Yeah, he always had a really good changeup, but when you don't throw strikes with your fastball, the changeup becomes ineffective, right? You have to be able to throw. You have to have something in there in the hitter's brain, like okay, I have to think about actually more pitches than one
to make it a changeup.
Yeah, I mean, and so exactly, but I think. He's gotten to the point now. I mean, this is one of the biggest transformations of a pitcher I've ever seen.
Wow.
It's really an amazing story. This guy couldn't hit the broadside of a barn for a little while now. And for most of his, you know, minor league career, he always had a great arm and he got himself. And this is not uncommon with tall, lanky, left-handed pitchers. It takes them a while to get their bodies in sync. Their bodies lining up and the ability to put themselves in a position to consistently throw a strike and consistently have the arm path that's necessary to make your pitches.
Like Koufax.
Weird. And he was there. Well, Koufax was tiny.
I was just joking.
Wow,
but he was tiny.
I just know he struggled early.
But the big, tall, like Randy Johnson.
Randy
Johnson was a monster. And Randy Johnson, I played against in USC. And Randy Johnson threw 1,000. And I was crapping myself every time I stood in the box. But he had to dial it down to like 92 to throw a strike.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And so...
Yeah, he was erratic even with the Expos.
Said, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, very erratic.
And then later on, I was like, okay, I'm going to cut it loose, baby. Good luck hitting my stuff. Oh, yeah.
Well, look at Alvarado. He's another big guy that struggles with control.
It just does take some time with those guys because their bodies... It's weird. Their bodies, they don't link it up. And I think Caleb Cotham and others that are working with the Phillies, they're really good at putting that together.
So Alvarado could actually be a better version of Alvarado. Everyone's raving about the way he looks now, but everyone says don't read too much into the spring training stuff. Is he really?
Well, in the cases of pitchers, you can read into some stuff because you can see the ball coming out of the hand and the consistency of it. Now, for him, it's a confidence thing. And he's put himself in a position, and people don't want to talk about it too much, but he's in a better body position. He has lost some weight. He's more svelte. He'll never be svelte, but I mean, he has put himself in a position to get his body in the right position to have success.
Good. All
that's
right.
The position you're in, Joe.
That's Joe, position. Yeah. 20 push-ups. That's fantastic. Jesus.
Wow.
That's
terrible. Stop it, Ruth.
The position I need to get into. All right. Phones. Are you getting excited? This thing gets real tomorrow. Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, team. Ruben, always good to talk to you. Before I get into the Phillies, I have to ask Devin a question, actually.
Oh, what's up?
I thought I was in the Twilight Zone watching the Flyers game yesterday because after the fourth goal, I was like, they have to be pulling Erson now. nope, fifth goal, nope, sixth goal. Like, they just, it was like the whitest flag of white flag games I've ever seen as a Flyers fan. Really just kind of, thank goodness for the Phillies to kind of pull me out of that, because I was like,
not since Roman Čechmánek skated to mid ice to scream at his teammates 20 years ago. Remember that, James?
Of course I do.
I had season tickets that year right behind the goal. He was an interesting cat.
Here's my question. Why is Ed telling this to Devin and not all of us?
Thank you, James.
Yeah. Like, we're all here, buddy.
I was waiting for the question to be Flyers
in arena.
I know,
host.
But like, yeah.
All right, so what's the question, Ed?
It didn't work last night's game, though, so if it's...
I've actually never asked Devin a question. I've asked Joe questions. I've asked Ruben questions. I don't think I've ever... So Devin was due a question, you know.
Okay. So what's the question?
It's a question.
The question was, why didn't they pull Arison?
Oh! That is a great question that I wish I could tell you the answer to. It is a frustrating situation for sure.
Maybe you can read into it with Twitterella's comments after the game that he's not that interested in coaching a team that's not that good. Maybe that was, John, maybe that was a window into his coaching last night.
I guess so. It does explain a lot.
Yeah, I'm not really interested in coaching a team that's, you know, not that good.
He's not going to do a good job because the players aren't good.
That's great. Appreciate
that,
Coach.
I'm really excited about the Phillies. I just, our core guys are going to do what they do. I just have a feeling that there's going to be either a young up-and-comer like a Crawford or Miller or one of our, you know, role players are going to get significantly better this season. It's like, you know, we need to have like a Mark Vientos on our team who just, you know, who just steps up and like surprises us. I think that's going to be the key.
Look, it can be a difference in winning a title sometimes. To my recollection, it wasn't in 08, but in 80 it obviously was. Guys like Lonnie Smith, Keith Moreland, Marty Bystrom, Bob Walk, who started game one.
Bob Walk.
So,
good call there,
you know,
Joe. That's a nice recall.
Thank you, sir.
That's very solid.
I was 2 years old. I remember watching that saying, you know what? I'm not giving the ball. Here's my strategy for game one. I'm not giving the ball to Steve Carlton. I'm giving the ball to Bob Walk. Yeah, right? And it worked.
Not a great name for a pitcher, if we're being honest.
It's really not. True. All right, Ed, I need an answer from you, my man. From sports movies, the best adversary ever as a character. Who is it?
Every time we win, we peel a section. Rachel Phelps from Major League.
Wow.
Cross him off the list, then. Great answer.
Yeah, so it's funny. I was thinking of a different adversary from that movie.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple.
A big, brawny Yankees slugger.
Do you know, Haywood off the board?
Well, that was one of mine. But do you know who that is? That's a ex-Major League pitcher.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
The batter?
Clint Haywood is. Do you know what his name is?
I don't.
See, I'm disappointed in that.
I'm impressed
I'm
with
literally
you.
Disappointed.
Why was he so freaking big? He looked like Incavelia.
He is.
How is he a pitcher?
He's also a major league scout for years and a great one. And he's from Pittsburgh.
What's his name, tough
Pete
guy?
Pete Vukovich.
But not related to our Vukovich.
Right-handed
right?
pitcher.
Not George or John?
It's Pete Vukovich. Unless I'm crazy, that's the guy.
But not related to George or
no,
John Vukovich?
Not even remotely.
Wow.
Different spelling, I think. I think it's V-U-C-K.
Okay. Pete Vukovich, major league adversary.
Somebody has to look correct. That up. He is correct. He is correct. Pete Vukovich played slugger Clue Haywood.
That's how you do it! Wow. That's what you do!
That
is damn impressive!
Well, let's hope the Phils are damn impressive. Ladies and gentlemen, are you getting fired up? Tomorrow, 215-592-9494. All jokes aside, are you getting fired up for this Philly season? Or still feeling a little lukewarm in the approach to it? Also coming up, Jimmy Rollins weighing in on the Phillies' leadoff situation. We'll get to that. We'll have some fun with AMA. Afternoon show talking about it yesterday with me versus Fritz. Also, Boa.
Talking about you.
Well, talking about me, I suppose. And Boa.
I can't wait to hear
that. I want to play this audio for Ruben about the historical element of what Boa experienced in 80 and what these guys might experience this year as it relates to, like, guys, you got to win or it's going to get broken up. Joe to camera, John Ritchie, Ruben in studio. Big day, the day before the day on 94 WIP. All right, let me tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook. And obviously, you can always get in all the sports, all the games, with FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, where you can get $200 in bonus bets. That's $200 in bonus bets when your first $5 bet wins. A great deal. You can apply it, obviously, to the tournament with all the clutch shots. 16 teams left, 15 games to go. The heartbreaks, the heartbreakers. Whatever. Hey, be on the right side. Don't be on the wrong side of a heartbreaker. Be on the right side of that one. Obviously, baseball. Guys, opening day tomorrow. Home opener on Monday. Over-under 91.5. 91.5. You think the local squad goes above or below 91.5 wins? Look, find the bet or bets that works for you and lock them all in at FanDuel.com/hammer. Baseball, college basketball, all of it. All the sports are there. FanDuel.com/hammer. All right, AMA, as we do every Wednesday, well, normally at 7 o'clock, pushed it to 7:20 today. So we got Rube in studio, day before the season starts. Rube, how about you having your own sponsor?
It's incredible.
I mean, what are you, big deal, man? It's like, it's
exciting.
It's like you were like a general manager of a baseball team or something. Like I don't know.
Something like that.
No big deal.
All right, I love it. Rube and Amara with us. We got Devin, we got Rhea, Seltzer, Richie, DeCamera. Good to have you with us as well. And tremendous to have the Phillies with us tomorrow. AMA right now. James, what do inquiring minds want to know?
All right, let's start out with Lava on Twitter. Lava says, Joe, can we get an update on the movie list?
Yeah, it hasn't been going. I haven't seen a movie in like a month.
Dude.
I've been busy. The book.
This is weak.
I'm deep in the book. I'm deep in the book.
Oh, have you been watching TV shows?
A little bit.
Oh, you have?
The 700-page book?
No, the book I'm writing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the book I've actually written. Now I'm in the selecting pictures process.
How long did that take? Come on.
James.
Watch a movie.
You don't know.
Acting like watching a movie is some like hard work that you have to like set time aside. Like, oh gosh, I really, you know, it's tough.
I'm just saying. I mean, it's a complicated process. I'm just going to leave it there.
It's a complicated process. The part that's frustrating for us is like, we have complicated processes too, and then there are other people who also have complicated processes.
Like six-year-old teenagers, things like that.
He's got very complicated processes that prevent him from being able to do stuff like write a book.
I know.
I'm an excuse maker. I admit that.
You know.
James, let's do a couple more.
Just so you know, moving forward, how about sit-ups and push-ups while you watch a movie?
Great idea.
Two things at once.
That's
there.
Fair.
Absolutely. Right. And the sit-up part, you can do them
super easy.
The whole time.
Yeah. Well, he can't.
I did purchase a I'll call it a mini treadmill. So you can't crank it up to the highest level, but I think you can get up to like a 7.0. And I got that for my apartment so I can do that and TV at the same time.
That's a good step.
The problem is the place just delivered it, and I wanted it for the winter, and it took them like a freaking month and a half. And there's no room in my apartment. Multiple problems.
You don't have a guy?
It doesn't go all the way up to, you know, you can't get up to like 10.0.
It's like a walking treadmill.
Yes, but you can run a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a walking treadmill. You can run a little bit. So
that's a good thing.
It's a step. I'm real about this. Problem is,
I don't think you're real about it.
I haven't assembled it enough yet, and I got it 2 weeks ago. That's a whole other matter.
Well, so you're telling us you're real about this. It's been there for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You still haven't used it.
It just sits there.
Have you unboxed it?
I've unboxed it, but I haven't, like, you know. You got to do something.
So you're saying you're real about this, yet you haven't even put it together.
It's together, but there's something you got to hit with, like, the remote control.
I'm offering plus 200 odds that it never gets set up. Who wants to take that?
All right, James, what is the next question?
All right, next question. This is from GoBirds86. Has anyone suffered any weird injuries involving mundane activities, like Matt Strom injuring his finger packing his daughter's toys?
Good question. John, you got one of them?
Yeah.
Like Lionel Simmons when he got hurt? What do you
got
to get hurt?
I've got a major one, actually.
Playing
video
games.
Yeah.
Playing video games.
That's what I thought.
When I was, this ties into when I was a free agent here. When I arrived in March of 2003 and everyone was asking me when we were going to win the Super Bowl, I laid open my wrist with a tomahawk.
At the start of free agency,
2003. I've been playing for the Raiders for 5 years.
Wow.
Now I'm an unrestricted free agent. I can go play anywhere I want. I get to go on these trips, but I'm making walking sticks out of finding eucalyptus sticks in this grove right by my house, making walking sticks, and I bought this new tomahawk that I felt the need to sharpen, even though it was new. So I'm sharpening it, and I'm sharpening it towards me, and I just went thunk.
Wow.
And it just laid my wrist wide open. And I'm like, this is bad. This is real bad. Because I mean, it's cut this vertically and it's cut deep, and it's now just a geyser.
Well, you're really lucky that it didn't derail you, man.
I know. I was terrified that I'd show up on a trip with this bandage around my wrist. Hey, wait, you had a surgery? What's going on, man?
Did the same thing. Almost sliced the front part of my finger off right before the playoffs in 1995, and I had just gotten named the last playoff spot over Dave Winfield, and I had sliced my finger, and they had to take me out, and I had to, like, do a bunch of stuff to it, and they had to I had to show them that I could throw. Because the reason why I was there is because I could play all three outfield positions.
How'd
and
you do it?
I don't know. I think I was eating or something, and I cut through something, and I could literally almost slice the tip of my finger off.
That's amazing. But, Ruben, can I tell you what is the most amazing part of your story?
What's that?
And everybody listening knows what it is. It's nothing about the injury.
It's about the Winfield?
You made the playoffs over Dave Winfield. Yeah. I mean, come on, Ruben. That's a boss move.
That's a Hall of Famer
we
right there.
We got to get Dave Winfield on the show and find out how he feels 30 years later that Ruben Amaro Jr. made the playoff roster over Dave Winfield.
Winfield was unbelievable during that time. He came over to me. I'm serious.
That's great, man.
He came over to me and said, hey, man, we've been friends for a long time. I played with him with the Angels for a minute. And so I had known him.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, I'm happy for you. I'm not happy myself, but I'm happy for you. So
you
and I will never change.
That's really nice, man.
One of the greatest athletes of all time, Dave Winfield,
he's
too.
Spectacular.
Now, Rube made it because Dave Winfield was 75 years old at
exactly.
that point.
Exactly. He was way over the hill.
It was towards the end for him.
He played
towards
tight
the end.
End.
You think?
The end. Did he play tight end also in
he
college?
Was a, he was a three sport
three
All-American,
sport.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, he could have done anything.
Yeah. And
Minnesota.
And a straight to the pros guy.
Straight to the pros guy, too. Yeah.
Which is a guy this year in baseball straight to the pros.
I mean,
very rare.
If he existed in today's world, he would be like the Michael Jordan, Shohei Ohtani, whatever. All of them.
Wow.
Wrapped up in one.
All right, let's do one more question, James. Fire away.
By the way, real quick, I don't know if sharpening a tomahawk counts as a mundane activity.
Thank you.
Great point.
Walking sticks out of eucalyptus.
Yeah, I don't know. That's like everyday activity. But
you know what's amazing about eucalyptus? It actually hardens as it ages because it crystallizes. The eucalyptus oil within the wood as it ages makes this matrix. So it's harder now than it was when I made
it. Do you still have it?
You have this information in your head. Where does it fit?
Where does it all fit?
Yes, I still have walking sticks, and they're beautiful.
All right.
And here's my summation of everything John just said. And people think I'm the weird one.
Okay. All right. Last one from Jack the Mike on Twitter. It says the fact transfer portal opened on Monday, or in the middle of the NCAA tournament, is crazy, and it's a rule that should be changed. What's a rule in any sport that you would change to make the sport better?
Look, it's not technically a rule, but I'm going to act like it's a rule. Maybe it's a rule. Maybe it is. I don't know. If I'm the NBA owners, no more guaranteed contracts. And I will collude, and I will accept a collusion charge, and I will pay the fine, but I will have players play! You have to play to get paid! I give you a 5-year deal. If your ass plays 42 games, guess what? You don't get the deal the next year. Out! 1 year out, non-guaranteed. Get your ass out.
Yeah, I do
non-guaranteed contracts. Play.
The Players Association will be psyched with that one.
Yeah, you know what, James? But you know I've been on record saying this.
I know.
I would rather, ladies and gentlemen, hear me clear. I would rather not have an NBA season next year. I would rather have a lockout to solve the problem than have this BS continue. It is a disgrace, and I have never seen. In a calendar year, in a year, I have never seen ever a sport go backward more than this sport has in 1 year, and that includes the baseball strike. Because at least with the baseball strike, you knew when they came back, you'd have your sport.
Baseball,
guys, we don't even have the players playing. That's my change.
It's an atrocity.
It's
an absolute atrocity that you are paid to play. The fans are paid. Or pay to watch you play.
And Ruben, you know if they were not guaranteed the contracts, it would change the whole thing.
Yes,
you would have to play order to get the contract the next year.
Absolutely would change it. And it's a shame that football, the sport where people go out there and try to hurt. We actually try to injure one another. That's the only one that's
and it's part of what, and it's part of what makes football great.
How have they gotten to this point?
Because the simple answer is the players make two things. The players make so much money and it's guaranteed. And because of that, they think.
And also, there's an upper echelon of players who are so great that they could do whatever they want.
Yeah, that's
and it. And there's no policing.
And they control franchises. Yeah. All right,
so
James. Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to know what a catch is in football. I'd like to have a rule that defines
that. Rule. Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's a good one, too. All right, with that, AMA, an extended AMA. We shut it down. All right, Phillies tomorrow and for the next 6 months, let's hope 7 months. You know, we had a poll result 2 weeks ago on our show. It was 12 days ago. The question was, how excited are you for the start of the Philly season? Now, it was 2 weeks ago, so people at that time wouldn't be, you know, and presumably as excited as they are right now. But I was startled, not surprised, because I've noticed the tenor of phone calls in early March here on our show and the station, but I was startled by the response. How excited are you for the start of the Philly season? 2 weeks ago, only 30% said extremely excited. 22% said not excited. Not excited for what I think is a great team. At the very least, I hope everyone acknowledges, at the very least, is a very good team. 48% got the most votes for somewhat excited. Well, here we are now, 2 weeks later, 12 days later. We reassess. How do you feel? What do you think? What are you feeling? Look, I'm extremely excited. Guys, I remember the days when we had garbage out there. Garbage. No offense to pick a player, James. Who was garbage?
Who was garbage? How about Tyler Goodell? Remember him?
Tyler Goodell. God. All right, that guy.
Sorry, Tyler.
So, you know what I'm saying, guys? I mean, come on. Phil's got a shot, and I know we're all frustrated last year, the end. We're all frustrated with Arizona 2 years ago at the end. I get it. I'm with you. I really am. But I also know this. We don't get a great era of Phillies baseball all that often. Matter of fact, you can make a strong case. It's only the third great era they've ever had. Okay? This goes back to 1883. It's only the third great era defined as multiple years in a row that you're really good. And this is the third time and only the third time. So number one, I embrace that. Number two, I embrace the next 6 months because I think they're going to make the playoffs. I know the freaking Sixers and Flyers stink. Okay? They stink. I also do want to ride a little bit of a wave of that Eagles thing. Doesn't necessarily translate, but I think it would be really fun to shoot for a second parade, which we've never had in our town in the
would
same
be warmer.
In the same year. It would be warmer.
It would be warmer.
It would probably be more well attended.
It's not that crazy.
You think Phillies
think
would
about.
Be more well attended?
Yeah, because of the warmth. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, the weather, I guess.
A February parade is tough.
Think of how fabulous this possibility is, and it really isn't that big a stretch. What is our expectation, like the national...
they only have about a 5% chance, Sean, to win the World Series because you got 12 teams to make the playoffs.
I understand that.
So
I understand
like,
that.
Five but is a small percentage, but they're in the fight, guys.
They absolutely are, and we forget that.
They're
we
one of the four or five
that.
Best teams
just
in baseball.
Just like we seem to forget, like just like with Trey Turner, we focus on the bad. We forget that he batted .295 last season.
Yeah.
This team has done so much that should give us hope and expectations of greatness this year.
But to be fair, here's the counterpoint.
Expectations of greatness.
All right, here's the counterpoint, though. And I want to hear from everyone, 215-592-9494. But I got to state the counterpoint. The at-bats have stunk in the crucible of the moment of the postseason multiple years in a row at the end. And a lot of people lack faith that that'll change. A lot of people have not liked answers Dave Dombrowski has given in recent weeks. And some answers from some others. And they just don't believe enough change was made to the roster to warrant believing. Like, it's Javon Kearse and T.O. didn't walk in here. Like, T.O. in 04, I mean, it was just about the same team as 03. It was just about the same, except Terrell Owens was here. And Javon Kearse was here. It made a monumental difference. And as great as 03 was, it was so clear right away. It was so clear the first game. Matter of fact, it was clear in the first preseason game that it was a greater team because of Terrell Owens. Yeah. And this team doesn't have that infusion of, like, wow.
You know, they might be coming.
Well, I don't think the rookies will be that
Painter,
this year.
Painter
but
could
we'll,
be special.
We'll see. Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Could be.
All right, let's go to the phones. Are you still lukewarm on the Phillies? If so, why? Or are you really starting to get fired up? Talk to us. This thing gets real tomorrow. 215-592-9494. Also, from a sports movie standpoint, the best character who is an adversary ever in a sports movie. There are so many sports movies. Give us big-time answers for an adversary that was a compelling character. Rick in Easton right now. Rick, good morning.
Ruben was right. It's Peter Vukovich. It's not my answer. That's my pivot.
I'm impressed with both of you.
Yeah, it's and I'll give you his name. Oh, I can't give you his name because it's not. It's my pivot unless somebody said this. Okay.
Well, it's already said, so you can't say it, Rick.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. But go ahead.
It was Clue Haywood, by the way.
Okay.
So anyway, so the Phillies' age is curtailing my excitement. I got to see this team play for the first 30 days, and that's just my opinion.
Do you think they're old? Are you saying they're old?
I think they're older, and I know you don't get much offense out of the catching position, and I just think that JT, although he still can play defense, is going to be a huge, I hope I'm wrong, offensive liability in this lineup this
year. Well, we did know. Look, Rick, we knew when they signed him to the five-year extension or deal, whatever you want to frame it as, we knew that you'd get declining results.
Yeah, no doubt. Real cool.
And he's held up pretty good, but the end of last year was rough. We'll see what he's got in year five here.
And shortly after the Eagles Super Bowl win, I told my wife, now the Phillies really have pressure.
Oh,
and
big.
So we'll see. By the way, we do something really cool. We have two different sets of season tickets, 4 and 4, upstairs where the Hall of Fame is and down by the first base side. We have a little contest. We have 10 people. We hold a draft. We already did it for our season tickets. It's pretty cool. But so let me go with my my adversary.
Yes, sir.
Johnny Lawrence, not just fought for the same girl, but he also fought for the trophy in Karate Kid. William Zemeckis.
No, you got me at Johnny Lawrence. Rick, I hear it. Johnny Lawrence, big answer. It was
massive
very,
answer.
And part of what made it so compelling was knowing that he's a teenager and has a relationship with the older guy. How much is Johnny Lawrence truly a jerk? How much is the older guy influencing him to be a jerk? Yeah. And then obviously you see more of that play out in Cobra Kai.
Crazy.
That's a good answer.
At the end, when you realize that his jerkiness is, he's being treated the same way that he's treating others.
You really see it at the
mirroring.
The start of Karate Kid 2 also, when the guy punches the mirror. I mean, not the mirror, the car window. Gets mad at Miyagi. But you also see when the bad guy says, you know, sweep the leg and all that stuff at the end of one. All right, that's a good answer. All right, by the way, speaking of answers, coming up in 1 minute, something JT said recently about hitting and the team's approach to hitting. It's good stuff because at least I think they're thinking the right way. We'll get to that coming up in 1 minute here on WIP. All right, let me tell you about PI Dental Center. You know, they've got decades of experience in complex dental treatment. Decades of experience, of which I've been a patient for 2 decades. My mom, a patient there for 3 decades, with Dr. Glenn Wolfinger and Dr. Robert Slough, both board-certified prosthodontists. They specialize in the restoration and the replacement of teeth. PI Dental Center are also the originators of the Teeth in a Day. That's a revolutionary treatment that delivers fixed teeth and implants placed for a dramatic transformation in a mere 1 day. Now, I've been very fortunate through the years, in part because of the great care I get from PI Dental Center, and also a certain degree of good luck. I've never had a major problem. For me, it's year-to-year maintenance, and if you're in that category, boom, get yourself to PI Dental Center. They'll take great care of you. But if you have a major issue that requires a serious repair, know that PI Dental Center, they can really fix you up. Start with their website, PIDentalCenter.com. They're located in Fort Washington. Visit PIDentalCenter.com to request your new patient evaluation. All right, let's listen to JT Realmuto. So, you know, it is the final year of his deal. It is very notable, that both JT and Kyle Schwarber are entering the final years of their deal. You know, it's not all that often we see a very good or great Phillies player get to the final year of his deal before getting extended. No, it happens at times. Obviously, recently, Wheeler and Nola were both extended. Bryce can't get to the final year of his deal for another, 37 years. Got a long way to go. Same thing with Trey. But Schwarber and JT have not been extended. And, you know, there is concern about decline. There's also concern about the approach that the players take, both individually and as a team at the plate. Listen to JT talking to John Clark recently about the fact that, is this with John Clark? I'm getting confused.
Yes, it was with John.
With John Clark. Listen to JT talking about that they do know they need to make some adjustments. Let's hope they do it. Here's JT.
Have there been adjustments in spring training working on anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think every spring training you come in with adjustments and goals that you want to work on, and that's certainly one of the goals for our team is to chase less and use the whole field, like Rob said. I think it's certainly easier said than done with the type of pitching nowadays, but it's something that we're going to continue to work on and continue to get better. We know that, you know, once you get to the postseason, putting the ball in play is king and not striking out, making the defense make plays. And so that's something we're going to work on all season.
All right. I'm glad that they're thinking of it. I'm glad that they're talking about it. I'm glad that they're trying to do it. I want to see them do it.
What does he mean by that, especially with the type of pitching nowadays?
It's that people throw a lot harder than they used to. It's harder to hit the ball to the opposite field.
Directionally.
Like, yeah.
It's harder to control it directionally.
Yeah, that's why so many guys are just pull power hitters, you know, because it's like, all right, well, my best chance is just pull the ball out of the ballpark. Like, I'm not going to be able to, like, fight it off to the other field. It's just harder to hit the ball over the place.
And also, the emphasis of overall has been for the last, I don't know, 12 to 15 years has been just to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And you have to sort of recalibrate. And that's the mindset that I think that people are starting to understand is important again, actually making contact. And that's the big thing, is that once you get, it's hard to get out of certain habits. I mean, look at Scott Kingery. He can never get out of those habits once he started trying to drive the ball out of the ballpark. And so it's just a recalibration of your thought process, a little bit of an adjustment with your swing path. There's a bunch of stuff that's associated. Hitting's already difficult, and you start putting these sorts of changes in, it's not easy. But they are very cognizant of it and conscious of it.
So, Ruben, we had a Twitter poll 13 days ago in our show, and I really think it's the single most important issue this year for the Phillies. Number one. And most people doubt that they will make an effective change. Ruben, here was the question 13 days ago. Do you think the Phillies as a team will make an effective change to how they approach hitting? Because we know they're going to try to. The question is, will they accomplish it? 21% of people said yes. 79% of people said no. What gives you some hope that they actually will? Not try. What was it? Was it Yoda, John? There is no try?
There is no try. Do or do not?
Is something that right? Like that. There is only do, I think. Bottom line is, Ruben, what gives you confidence they actually will?
Well, the reality of it is these guys are supreme athletes. They're really good players. You said it yourself. Yes. It's a great team. The offensive the pieces, I mean, all you got to do is look back at Kyle Schwarber last year. Kyle Schwarber jumped his points in batting average by 50.50.
I know.
The 50.
But the problem is guys like Castellanos and Trey, supposed to be great athletes also, and last year they did not.
But they will, and they have. And so it's not like they haven't done it. And I think it is easier said than done. And for us to sit here and be in front of a mic and talk about it is one thing, and for them to do it is another. But they have the ability, they have the eye-hand coordination, they have all of those elements that are necessary to be able to make those adjustments, and I truly believe they will. I think about JT Realmuto, and people think he's declining. The man had a blown up knee last year. When you have a bad knee and you don't have your base, you're a different player. I look at his like WAR numbers and I compare him to a guy like Yadier Molina, and I was looking just at the WAR numbers just in and of itself and what he's done over the course of his career. He blows Yadier Molina away, and he was the best. I mean, Yadier Molina is going to be a Hall of Famer, and in my opinion, and he was the best catcher in baseball.
Also won, what, two World Series, though, right?
Yeah.
Am I remembering that right?
But what I am saying is that this is a guy that is in unbelievable shape. He got hurt last year. Nobody talks about it. No one makes that excuse for him, but same sort of thing would happen with Stott last year. I mean, the man had a bad elbow for almost 2 or 3 months.
You know what struck me, Ruben? So I asked Rob Thompson about that when we were down there at spring training 2 or 3 weeks ago. I said, I've heard, not from you, but I've heard from other people, that they were more banged up than the public knew. And Rob Thompson denied it. But I think he denied it because he didn't want to appear to be the guy giving them cover when he knows the fan base doesn't want to hear it.
They don't want excuses? Nobody wants excuses.
As soon as Rob Thompson said that, I thought, he's not telling the truth. And I'm not ripping him. Because, you know, John, sometimes, Ruben, it can be viewed as an excuse, and then people put him in the excuse category and blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, I've heard that from people. They were really banged up. Look at Hoffman. The guy failed 2 physicals.
Yeah.
I mean, he failed 2 physicals. Obviously, he was injured when he was pitching in the playoffs.
Man, with JT, that's just, he is so tough. And when they talk about how
he is tough,
he,
man.
When Larry Boa talks about how
tough he is. He is a badass, dude. He's a badass.
We so undervalue JT Realmuto. We, as fans talk about
him.
How he's so pedestrian offensively. He's not going to hit 30 home runs, nowhere close. Well, he's pretty incredible at defensively. The skills, the quickness, the speed, the arm, all that stuff, the pop. It is spectacular.
Look, when I think
we don't give him that
we should appreciate this man because he could go down as the best catcher in the history of this organization.
He's got a real shot. Yeah, he does.
Because he's that damn good.
I mean, it's
he's as athletic as anybody on the field.
Him doing in Dutch, right?
And he takes care of himself. The guy was a wrestler, a football player, the whole nine yards. Dude, you guys haven't seen him like the way that I've seen him physically.
Yeah.
And the work that he puts in, it's pretty special, man.
And it's also a contract
year
for him.
He does remind me of Dutch as far as his toughness is concerned.
Yeah.
And there ain't nobody but tougher than Dutch.
Yeah. All right, 215-592. Look, when I think of the toughest of the tough in Philly sports, and it doesn't always have to be the biggest guy, when I think tough, I think Jalen Hurts, I think Ron Jaworski, I think Rod Brind'Amour, I think Wayne Simmons, Lane Johnson is freaking tough.
He's country tough.
Dutch was tough, JT is tough, Trot was tough, I mean tough. Wes Hopkins was freaking tough. All right, Twitter poll. We got three different.
Did you just give Jalen Hurts a compliment?
I did.
Look at you.
I did.
You didn't throw B Doc out there.
A Doc tough. Ruben Amaro tough.
That's kind of soft. Not.
Tony Longmire apparently was tougher. That's why they put a Tony Longmire on the playoff.
That's not nice.
No, that's not nice.
Hey, it's no. Try not. Do or do.
Do not.
There
you go.
Where is Tony Longmire now? That's what I want to know. He doesn't have his own sponsor on WIP.
Boom.
All right,
Rube. I still can't believe he got that playoff spot over you, man. That really burned me up.
Not only did it burn you up, I mean, obviously burned me up, but the cool part about for me was that I had teammates coming up to me going, I don't know what the F is going on here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's also cool that you did it to Dave Winfield.
That's true.
That's also good.
It's really true. Hey, three different Twitter poll questions of the day. They're all brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Spring into adventure in a new Armin Chevrolet. Available 2.9% financing for 72 months on new Silverados. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. All right, first poll question. Seltzer, I go to you on this. Are they going to go over or under 91.5 wins? Over or under?
Over.
You feel fairly confident?
Yeah, look, I think they're like we'll do our full prediction tomorrow, but I'm hovering around 93 right now.
Okay.
So I think a little bit over, not like way over, but I think they'll be over.
All right, 91.5 is the number. 91.5 probably won't win the division, but would obviously get you a playoff spot.
That's okay.
It is okay. So do you think they get 91.5 more or less? Second poll question: should I wear the Phil Foley's uniform?
The full Phillies
uniform on the home opener, which is on Monday. So do I lean back in that, or is that like been there, done that, and it hasn't worked? Or is it when I've done it, they have actually gone further than when Devin did it last year? So should I wear it on Monday?
You're making this personal.
I love the little shot to Devin here. It's good.
Why am I involved in this narrative?
Hey, Devin, you stunk at wearing the uniform.
Devin,
take
so
that.
Sorry.
Take that.
Right.
Devin, how many rounds did the Phillies win last year?
Oh, man, I guess I can't wear the uniform again.
Do you believe
again?
It's Devin's
Too
fault?
Too bad.
I think it's part of it.
That the Phillies lost
I believe
in the first
round? This kind of stuff I believe in. Yeah, the sports.
It's not my fault. They had a really good start to the season, okay?
Remember, well, he also believes he's a better athlete than Jack.
Well, yeah, yes, we're going to get to Spike and Ike and what they said yesterday on the Spike and Ike show. That's up ahead in a moment.
Wow, you're just calling it the Spike and Ike show now, right?
That's correct.
I love it.
Third poll question. Do you want Tortorella back next year? So there's really three ways this could go. They keep him, he quits, or they can him. Matter of fact, let's listen to what Tortorella said last night, because it's really getting harder and harder to want to keep a guy after he says what he said. They're now 1-11 in their last 12. Second year in a row in utter collapse. Now, I know there's not a ton of talent. I do know that. But Tortorella after the game last night, I mean, come on.
It's my job to prepare this team in this type of situation. Haven't done a good enough job past couple of games.
These last two games, are you sensing frustration setting in? Maybe it's a cumulative effect from last week playing well and not getting results?
Well, when you're in this type of situation and you're losing all the time and there's nothing at the end of the tunnel for you, there's certainly going to be some frustration. But this falls on me. I'm not really interested in learning how to coach this type of season where we're at right now. But I have to do a better job. So this falls on me, getting the team prepared to play the proper way until we get to the end.
Let me just say, regarding our show, James, I'm not really interested in doing our show.
Yeah.
I guess I'll, you know, I got to do a better job at it, but I'm not really interested in it.
I just don't like it the way it is right now. You know?
Come on.
You guys aren't very good at doing it, so I'm not going
to
do it.
I actually think he meant something else.
What do you think he meant?
I think he meant he didn't want to be coaching a team that's going to be losing consistently.
Well, I agree with you. That's his intent. That. But the point is, what he has.
But he also blamed himself for it. I mean, listen, he made himself accountable. It was like a roundabout way to be accountable. But I think he maybe used different words to make it sound, you know, like, hey, I don't want to coach this team because it's terrible. I don't believe that at all. But here's the fundamental problem.
He's not doing a good job. And I'm not saying that based on that they lose more often than they win, because obviously with their lack of talent, they should lose more often than they win. You know what they are? I looked this up earlier. Let me get this real quick. They're 1-11 in their last 12. They've given up 7 goals 2 straight games. And in their last 12 games in regulation, I'm not counting the overtime goals or penalty shots or, you know what I'm saying, at the end. Regulation, they've been outscored 51-21. Mm-hmm. In their last 12 games. Now, is that a team that's trying? Is that a team that's competing?
Well, it's
and to what extent is that on the coach? I mean, it's pretty obvious.
I mean, they decided that they are still in rebuild mode. They made the trades to take basically their best players off the team.
They did.
He's in a very, very tough position as a coach. I mean, it's about development. It's not about winning right now.
But he said what he said. And now, if you're a player in that locker room, I don't know how I can be motivated for a guy who's just told the world you're not good. Like, you players aren't good enough for my caliber of coach. Like, that's what I'm hearing. And maybe I'm reading into this too much.
I'm with you, John, because they're not going to be a world, they're not gonna be a world beater next year either. They're going to have most of the same.
I can't imagine. Right, exactly. Like, so he's not willing to really dig in and coach this group because they're not equipped to be good enough for his caliber. Yeah. Well, what about next year?
I took it differently.
What about
the
year after that? Like, when is it up to his level where he decides, okay, now I'm ready to be motivated?
Yeah. All right. So, look, you can weigh in. The Tortorella thing, what do you make of it? 215-592-9494. Obviously, opening day tomorrow. Are you really starting to get fired up or still kind of holding back because of, you know, the offseason, the whole deal? Also, I want to get to this audio of Spike and Ike and Jack from yesterday. We'll get to that in a moment. Let's talk to Joe in Mayfair right now. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. I do not want Tortorella back at all. He is more harmful than good. He's like Mike Keane. He just whips. And you don't get a lot of the youth today to respond to that consistently. Mm. So, no.
There could be something to that part of it, too. Like, the youth of today do not respond to hard coaching. We know that this is the epitome of hard coaching.
Yeah, he is. He Keenan, and LaViolette obviously have that in common.
But the camera, I got a beef with you.
Beef with me?
With what you said. Yeah, what you've been saying.
This
is a major beef.
What?
Who are the top two Phillies of all time?
Who are the top? Well, first off, I referenced three yesterday, but who are the top two Phillies of all time? And I referenced three in the last 70 years.
Yeah.
Who are the top two Phillies of all time? Well, Schmitty is obviously one of them.
Yep.
And then you'd probably have to choose between Steve Carlton or Robin Roberts. Now, Chuck Kline, you'd have
to
consider.
Chuck Kline, I was going to say, you have to put in there.
So, but I suppose it would be...
It's probably Carlton, so.
I think it would probably be Carlton or Roberts. But,
okay, because I've heard you say Bryce Harper.
Said the last 70 years, Joe.
Yeah, I said the last 70 years, which means after Robin Roberts and Ashburn, the three best clearly, and it's clear, are Schmidt, Carlton, and Bryce Harper. What's your beef with that?
Oh, it's a major beef. And I'm
you putting Chase, Jimmy, or Ryan Howard above Bryce Harper?
Oh, Ryan Howard's absolutely above
Bryce Harper.
That's nonsense.
That's not right.
No, it's not.
I love Ryan Howard. That's not accurate.
It's in a six-year period, that man averaged 44 homers and 136 RBIs.
I know. But then there was
he's a World Series champion.
I understand that, but then there was a five-year period after that. I mean, I understand if you look, obviously Bryce Harper has not had a year like Ryan Howard had in 06.
He's entering his seventh year. That's why I questioned you yesterday about nobody from 2008.
Yeah, I go right past it.
But I'm saying he's entering his seventh year. What if he falls off?
Well, if he falls off, that could change the equation, but I don't expect him to fall off. I mean,
Ryan Howard's OPS in that time frame is just as good as Harper's, if not, I think, a little bit higher.
But hold up.
OPS is in baseball. We're higher 20 years ago, 15 years ago, like way higher.
Joe,
so you can't compare OPS to OPS.
Joe, here's the key question. Do you just discount the second half of Ryan Howard's career and don't count?
what Ryan Howard did for this organization.
I know.
And for that run.
What about what Harper did for this one and what they're doing now? What are you talking? He hasn't won it yet. Yes, but
and
outside
again,
of winning it,
and
like
again,
what
Joe, for the
again,
5
I'm
million
like
for the hold on, for the
here,
5
even made my case.
Because your points are stupid. For the 5 millionth time, they haven't lost the last 3 years because of him. How many times do I have to say this? Kimbrel, Wheeler being taken out. How many times do I have to cover this? I know Ryan Howard went 0-for-4 in Game 6 and Game 7 versus the Diamondbacks. I get it. Guys, look at his postseason numbers. They're freaking unbelievable. And to just act like Ryan Howard's second half of his career doesn't count, I think is stupid, Joe. And
well,
I love Ryan Howard.
I mean, after the Achilles tendon, I'm saying for what that man did for this organization
okay.
during that
all
run,
right.
you're just bypassing it and just putting Harper above. Harper's RBI numbers aren't even in the ballpark of Ryan Howard's. Or
so if you want to go
Joe.
By war, for however people reference it, war, Bryce Harper has had a much higher war in his 6 years at Philly than in Howard's best.
And if you want to talk about RBI,
like
and Joe, if you want to talk about RBI, tell me who in front of Bryce Harper has been as effective as Jimmy Rollins and Chase Utley in front of Ryan Howard. Who's done that for Bryce Harper? Has Trey Turner been Chase Utley? Are you kidding me?
Oh. I'm just surprised how much you just dissed what Ryan Howard did.
I'm not dissing
him.
It's not, dude.
I'm moving on.
Yeah,
I'm moving on.
It is ridiculous.
Joe, I love you, but you're being stubborn. Give me a great character in a sports movie that's an adversary and a compelling character.
I don't know that I agent on top of my hand, but the agent in Jerry Maguire.
That is a good character, that guy.
Bob Sugar.
Yep. Smarmy.
Really good.
Jay Moore. Yeah.
Jay Moore.
Really good.
That's a really good answer. Look, I know
and a good take on Howard, too.
No, and Ruben, you know I love Ryan Howard, but I mean, guys, Bryce Harper is, I mean, think of it, I'll just put it this way, for what it's worth. Ryan Howard is not going to make the Hall of Fame.
No.
Bryce Harper is guaranteed to make the Hall of Fame.
I'm with you. I don't want to sit there and compare the two because they're two great ball players.
Of course.
But I will say that when you talk about Ryan Howard's best 5 or 6 years, that run.
Of course.
He was literally the best offensive player in all of baseball, and that's with a league that had Pujols in it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So when you start comparing those two guys, and you see the numbers between the two of them.
But Joe, this is where I'm just saying when I raised the question, and you know you got upset with Joe, is it means a lot to people the championship?
Of course,
I mean,
it does.
So
of
when
course.
People look at that, they go, Bryce hasn't delivered that yet.
Yeah.
So I'm not ready to put him in there.
I understand, but we also know CJ Gardner-Johnson's not a better player than Brian Dawkins. We know that.
Yes.
Like we know that.
Of course.
So you know.
Brian Dawkins didn't bring a championship. it's just the way it is with some people.
All right, I agree with you. It is the way it is with some people. 215-592-9494. It's 94WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio. Obviously, you can join us on the regular phone line. Those lines available for you. But also, time's yours. So call to action, time's yours today, 945 best. Time's yours callers will make it to the show. I mean, look, you can tell us how pumped up or not you are for the coming Philly season. You can react to Joe from Mayfair's call right there saying Ryan Howard better than Bryce Harper. Agree or disagree. You can talk about Twitterella and what he said. Whatever's going on in your life. Maybe someone cut you off yesterday on the road and you're annoyed. You want to get it off your chest. Time's yours is always there for you. Here's the number. Call 215-238-4500. Put that number in your phone, by the way, so when you're watching a game, you can react in real time. Like, James, if Alvarado blows it tomorrow, game one, it's like, uh-oh. Back to this again.
How about when they get a game-winning hit tomorrow, all right?
My favorite are the times here is where someone will call, like, during a bad moment, and then the team ends up winning, and they call back and correct themselves.
Yes.
It's always a classic.
I'm a big fan of the calls in-game.
Yeah.
Big fan
the
of that call.
Live reactions.
So, all right, so again, time's yours. Put it in your phone so you always have it. And get ready to dial. It's 215-238-4500.
I should call once in a while.
You should.
Because, well, Ruben will tell you, I lose my mind during games sometimes. And I will shoot him a text, but it's got a lot of obscenities in it. I'd have to be blipped a lot.
I kind of love it.
I like it a lot, too.
Because it shows how much she cares.
Of course. Of course. Look at
I
me.
Love it.
Look at me and Joe. The only reason we were screaming at each other 5 minutes ago is we both love the Phillies and we get fired up about sports.
We argue like brother and sister. It's
funny as hell.
All right, speaking of arguing, John, you know, we got a little something going on here with that Fritzy guy. He thinks that he's a better athlete than me. I think I'm a better athlete than him. The afternoon show yesterday tackled this topic. And a little back and forth going on. Let's pick it up with Spike, Ike, and Fritz yesterday, talking more about the fact that me and Fritz are going to have an athletic showdown.
I mean, Ike, I'm shocked by the DeCamera Fritz thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
So for months and months, we've been doing the show almost a year together. Mm-hmm. We've taken countless shots at the morning show.
Every day.
And they never fire back.
Seems like they're fed up.
And DeCamera is... Not only said he's a better athlete than Fritz, and not only is willing to compete, but every day takes another shot at you.
Well, and brought on Ike today to take shots. Ike wasn't taking shots, but he wants to talk about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to crush this little worm.
No, yeah, so I decided today, it's no longer a radio bit. Like, right. It's now gotten personal. I'm going to kill him. But remember Kobe at the Olympics in 2008?
Yeah.
Where he ran
through
Pau Gasol?
Yeah.
That's the first play.
Just so you know, Jack texted me that yet. He didn't just say it on the air. He texted me. He's like, I just want you to know this is not a bit anymore. I'm going to murder the camera.
That's what he texted me.
I just want you to know that it's not just...
I don't do this bit thing. Like, I legitimately think I will win. I think I'm a better athlete than Jack. Now, look, we'll know in the next couple months when we do all these competitions.
I can't believe how wrong I think you are. Like, okay. I can't believe. Do you see the possibility that from my perspective that you might not even be able to hold? Like,
yes,
you
might not be able
to withstand a quarter of basketball.
Look, I'm closer to 50 than 25. I'm closer to 50 than 40. So, yes, I do understand it is possible I get smoked in this stuff.
Nothing to do with the age. I'm saying it's just you and Jack. He went to college to play baseball.
He's not Bo Jackson.
Thank you.
I mean, he's Jack Fritz.
Okay.
He's the afternoon producer.
But it's compared to you.
Okay, that's the difference. I'm not saying Jack's a professional athlete. I'm saying that you are so far from him athletically that you have no chance here.
Well, right. Well, we're not comparing him to Ruben Amaro. We're comparing him to Joe DeCamera.
Okay.
The guy who, in eighth grade... got benched after the first game, the first half of the first game.
That's
absolutely
correct.
I was an early
football
peaker.
Team. Yeah. And like that and that was part of what made you say, "You know what? I'm done with this sports thing." You didn't do the sports thing.
Toughness, fortitude.
Middle school.
And these are the words you think of.
So by the way, more of these guys because they yammered on even more. Fritz and Ike and Spike and I got to tell you something. Fritz said something in here that gave me additional hope, and I think we'll give other people, if you're rooting for me, additional hope. Because Fritz opened the window of something. Holy mackerel. All right, here we go.
So here's my position on this. This can't just be... Because, Jack, if we'll eventually do odds for this, and you will be a big favorite.
Yeah, minus 7.5.
You're just talking about the one-on-one
game. The game to 11.
Yeah, but there will be other competitions here.
Yeah, so I guess it's going to be tennis, some baseball competition, basketball to 11,
okay.
Golf and tennis. Did I say tennis already?
Yes.
Golf and running. Okay. Yeah.
So my position on this, you have to obliterate him.
5-0?
I think so.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this has to be a decisive victory because this could be a thing where, like in Rocky 1, where he may not win... But
if he just shows up and does a decent job,
right?
Give
like
him
if you don't crush
him. Coordination like for tennis.
Oh, fine. It's just like the serving is the one thing I can't
Serving's
figure out
hard.
In tennis.
Yeah.
Everything else is fine.
The serving is the one thing I quote can't figure out in tennis. And you guys think this guy's going to beat me in tennis?
We said tennis is the only one we think you have a chance
Here's
in.
The strategy.
So you're just going into the one that we said already? Look, like, you could win tennis. I don't know. Maybe not.
I figured it out last
night. I think you're a lock to lose the other four.
Okay, here's the basic bottom line. I'm just going
to... A lock.
Here's the basic bottom line. I need to win, because I recognize I have weaknesses. I need to win basketball and tennis.
Yes.
And then steal one of the other three.
This is not happening. It's already over. Yeah. It's done.
Yeah.
Congratulations,
how do you win
Jack. You won.
Basketball.
Well, I can outskill him.
And how do you steal? Yeah. Wait, you can what?
Outskill him and outhard him.
What makes you say that?
Because like, I think I'm a better basketball
player.
You're
smaller?
Because I got a J.
Slower.
Man. Yeah, I'm slow.
So why do you think he'll just let you shoot?
I'm crafty. I got that. Manu Ginobili game. I'm crafty.
You know he is in shape.
You're wiry.
How many people have asked you if you could dribble this week already?
Come on, you guys have seen me shoot.
See,
I mean,
can you?
I got some.
We've also seen you play against the children.
Okay.
at halftime, right. and we've watched you brick a layup
doubt
against
all,
children.
Doubt me all you want. Doubt me all you want. You,
we will. Hold on. We will doubt you.
Yes, fine. I do doubt you, okay. Because Jack can play defense,
okay.
And he can prevent you from shooting.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah,
yeah,
I guess that's the beauty
of it. I can't wait to find out.
All right, 215-592-9494. Rick in Philadelphia. Rick, good morning.
Hello.
Slick Rick. Hi, Rick. What up, buddy?
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, sir.
Really awesome.
Great. Listen, at 78 years old, I don't really have much in the way of sports adversaries, but maybe I saw a movie, Tonya Harding, I, Tonya, which is she's pretty
Tonya.
Much
my girl.
If we're counting real life, if we're counting real life, that's a hell of an
adversary.
We don't
get those stories anymore.
I don't like that.
Why?
Because I mean, how
she had somebody
it's
beat
kind of
somebody
a
else up?
Answer.
Yeah,
like,
but it's real life. I mean,
but it was a movie.
No dramatization.
Wow.
It is.
We all love it,
all right, Rick, we'll take it under advisement. What do you got on the Phillies, Rick?
Do we count the fact that he said Tonya?
Yeah. Rick, what do you got, buddy?
I'm extraordinarily excited. I think Schwarber should be hitting fourth because I saw a spring training game where he was hitting fourth. There were two guys on. And instead of a one-run homer, Schwarber had a four-run homer or a three-run homer. So I'm just thinking, if last year, I don't know how many leadoff homers he had. I think it was 15, and he tied the all-time Major League record. I mean, if he's batting third or fourth or fifth, I mean, I think it jacks up his RBIs and the Phillies' run total.
Well, it would. It would jack up his RBIs. It's unclear whether it would jack up the run total, but it would obviously get his RBIs up. That's clear.
But the real reason for my call is I'm just upset. I think the one I don't know how Dombrowski, and maybe if Ruben's still on, he'll know the answer. But, I mean, the two words why I think they're not going to win the World Series are Kyle Tucker. I mean, he's the bat on the ball guy, the incredible defense. He can still run. He's like a, I don't know, a three or four tool player. And yeah, I think they could have had him in free agency. And
well,
I think
he's a free agent after this year. So he got traded the year before free agency to the Cubs. He wasn't signed. He's a free agent at the end of this season.
Well, Rick, listen, great call. Ruben, are you surprised there weren't more moves? I mean, we all expected more and then there weren't.
I was a little surprised, but I do like the moves that they made. I mean, I'm a big Dave Dombrowski fan. I know that he knows how to win world championships. He's been there and done it, and I trust him. I do think that the addition of Lizardo was huge. I think that the fact that they got Max Kepler to add to their overall offense, a guy who's a professional hitter and has had a really good spring, really happy about what he's bringing to the table right now. Who knows whether it'll translate, but we'll see. I mean, I'm a little surprised that more moves were not made, but I am happy with the fact that they did what they did.
Well, championships have been referenced a few times today, and Jimmy Rollins obviously won one here in Philly. Who he wants leading off for the Phils this year, Trey Turner or Kyle Schwarber? Jimmy weighed in. We'll get to that audio. And also his justification for that. That and more. Dombrowski on the quest to win a title, what he said to us a couple weeks ago. Phone calls on all these topics, plus Chris Wheeler today at 8:30, and your calls throughout the show. 215-592-9494. It's the day before the day. Opening day tomorrow right here on 94WIP.
FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is giving all customers the chance to take a swing at $500,000 in bonus bets every day from March 27th to the 30th, this Thursday through Sunday. It's all part of the $500,000 daily home run jackpot. This starts tomorrow, and all you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/JohnR, J-O-N-R, to use your jackpot profit boost on a player to homer. And if they go yard, not only will you get bigger winnings on your home run bet, but you'll also get a share of that day's $500,000 jackpot. This season on FanDuel, big wins are on deck. So just head to FanDuel.com/JohnR, J-O-N-R, and look for the daily home run jackpot. Make every moment more with FanDuel, your home for betting home runs. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP as well. That's FanDuel.com/JohnR. for your chance at $500,000 in bonus bets.